always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Especially with the proliferation of social media, almost in real time, we get video, we get audio, we get witnesses, we get true statements, we get, frankly, false statements about major crimes that happen in our country. Matter of fact, here's a trivia question for you, a trivia answer for you. The most popular podcast platform in the world is true crime. We tune in when there is an emotional story about crime, but what do we do about crime? Interesting op-ed that I found with our friends at the R Street Institute says, don't let crime fears lead to new government abuses. Well, we want to stop crime, right? So what are the chances that we take with it? That's what we're talking about right now. I'm Mike Ferguson. I'm now joined by Stephen Greenhut. He is a resident senior fellow at the R Street Institute who wrote this op-ed. And Stephen, appreciate you being on the program. We have a very visceral emotional reaction when crime trends up. We see what's happening in the major cities in the country. We want government to do something, and that's not always bad. What you're arguing is don't do maybe too much even, or don't do the wrong thing. There's got to be a balance in there somewhere, right?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is getting the government to do the right thing is always a challenge. Even when it has the ideas correct, implementation is always a failure. But, you know, I'm in California, and we've had, over the years, with our initiative process, and we've embraced some pretty dramatic criminal justice reforms that go both ways. So back in the 80s and early 90s, crime was soaring, and we passed the toughest in the nation, three strikes and you're outlaw, a variety of other tough on crime proposals. And eventually, we had such high incarceration rates that in the last few years, and the crime rate had fallen to the lows that we haven't seen since the 60s. And then the pendulum swung back the other way, and we embraced all sorts of criminal justice reforms, some of which I support and are good ideas, but a lot of them might not be. So we're just kind of swinging back and forth based on the understandable emotions. I mean, we all want to be safe. Crime is obviously, has victims. So not to make light of any of that. And if you get public policy wrong in that area, people can pay with their lives. However, I was just reminding people that some of the rules that we pass in these frenzies have an impact on our liberties. And one of those, it was prompted by a Reason magazine article about civil asset forfeiture. And that I've covered that quite a bit in my newspaper work. And it's just an absolute absurd abuse where government can take your property and then you have to sue the government to get it back. And you don't have to have committed a crime. They just take the property, allege that it may have been used in the commission of a crime. And it's all theirs. It's like it's just the wrong incentive to turn the whole government into the version of the small town Southern cops who, with their speed traps, except they're taking massive amounts of property. And that came out of the Reagan era drug war. So just cautioning against getting carried away, because with the retail crime, highly publicized problems we have in San Francisco and LA, we're seeing some real far-reaching pushback in the other direction.
Well, you mentioned the soaring crime of the 80s and 90s, and some would argue it seems like we're dealing with that across the country right now. And so a reaction is do something, protect our businesses, protect our economy, protect our lives. We've seen the violence in the large cities, and this gets attached to a variety of different sources. But it comes down to, a lot of cases, policy, and people are saying, okay, if we have rising crime, if this is changing, then we need to change the government's approach to it. So how do we assess what's going to be the right approach to deal with the rising crime that threatens people's property and lives and physical health versus one that also keeps in mind our civil liberties and constitutional rights.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's the thing, trying to get it right. I'd argue that we, you know, police and prosecutors have plenty of tools at their disposal. And sometimes you need to tweak a law here or there. I mean, California passed Proposition 47 a few years ago. I think it was almost a decade ago, which removed certain crimes from felonies to misdemeanors. It was targeting lower level crimes. And, you know, a lot of the conservatives have blamed it for an uptick in, well, they blame it for everything, but they more legitimately couldn't blame it for an uptick in some, you know, retail crimes, because it raised the amount to $950. It was $400 that would trigger a felony. Of course, California's threshold is still lower than most states, but we're seeing some criminals just doing a variety of $949 thefts over the course of a day. So I think it's reasonable to try to aggregate those. So if somebody's repeatedly stealing amounts just below the threshold, that you could prosecute them as a felony. There are things, you know, you always need to tweak, tweak the crime code, but we shouldn't get, we shouldn't let emotion drive it as much as it has in the past. And having, when I worked at the San Diego Union Tribune, I remember I did a deep dive on crime statistics. And if you want your head to explode, that's a good thing to do, because it criminologists really don't have a clue on what causes crime to go up and down. There are so many factors. Some involve policing and prosecutorial approaches, but not as much as you think. There are demographic issues and age issues. There are all sorts of things. And we saw during the pandemic, we saw this crime spike that no one could quite explain. And now crime's falling back a little more, and then it's going up again, and then it's highly localized. The crime rates, we looked at crime rates, in Southern California. And it varies greatly between communities. And some of the tough on crime communities have higher increases in crime. So it really does make your head spin. So we have to be careful what we do.
We are visiting with Stephen Greenhut from the R Street Institute. So in the last couple of minutes that we have here, Stephen, if you're looking for a framework to make communities, to make society in general safer with less crime, we're never going to get rid of it, obviously. Is it a matter of soft on crime versus tough on crime, or is there a different framework with which we should approach the entire problem, since, you know, crime and different types of crimes go up and down?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just hit on it exactly. I mean, too often, you know, the tough on crime was driven by emotion, and I'm not saying it wasn't understandable, but it's always driven by people with political agendas. So we had this kind of conservative political push, and a lot of the criminal justice reform movement we've seen is driven by, I've talked to some of these folks some people who don't believe anyone ought to be in prison. So it's driven by ideology. And on the conservative side, too, it's also often driven by prison guards unions and police unions and people with interests. And it cuts both ways. So I think we need to, be calmer, take a look at the data. And I know at R Street, we try to do a lot of data. I mean, it doesn't surprise you to realize that crime policy is not concocted by people who sit and look at the crime data and try to see what works and what doesn't. It's driven by public perception and politicians. And I'm not saying you can get away from that, but we ought to try, to look at the data, see what works, see what doesn't work. And try to have a more moderate approach, because I had pointed to that asset forfeiture that came in the 80s, and it's still wreaking havoc on us. And we despite a series of reforms, the government's still doing it because it's so lucrative to take private property and keep it that it's hard to reform. So if we do the wrong thing, it could be with us for another 40 or 50 years.
All right. The article is called "Don't Let Crime Fears Lead to New Government Abuses." It was written by Stephen Greenhut. at the R Street Institute. All right, Stephen, if people want to follow your work and your colleagues, let's start with R Street Institute. Where can we find that? And do you have any personal websites, social media, anything like that? People want to get in touch or have questions.
Yeah, go to rstreet.org and you'll find what you'll find pretty much everything we do over there.
All right, Stephen, really appreciate the insight because, you know, a lot of times we see things that are horrible and they're happening everywhere. The reaction is do something. And sometimes do something doesn't answer the other question, which is, well, do what? And that's what we need to get the conversation going the right direction on. So once again, Stephen Greenhut, resident senior fellow at the R Street Institute. Again, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. What do you think? You know, we talk a lot about the pro-criminal approach that the left has, and they do. We're seeing the results of that everywhere. But when we say do something, are we talking about needing a whole bunch of new laws and new rules? Or is it a matter of, like Stephen said, you've got to look at what's available right now? I mean, in St. Louis alone, prosecute the criminals. That would be a good start. And maybe we don't need a whole bunch of new laws. Maybe we need to reform the laws on the books right now. What do you think? Let's talk about it. 314-912-1019. This is 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.